Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll be speaking with some folks from the Center for an Urban Future, which just published a report called 51 Things the Obama Administration Can Do for New York City. It's full of recommendations on everything from improving air traffic control to revamping the U.S. census so that it more accurately counts New York City's demographics and populations. And they've got faith that if you more accurately count our population, it's going to wind up being more, not less. And we want to hear your top five list of things the Obama administration can do for New York City. We just heard Lee Sander before the news making his case to maximize federal funding for mass transit. Would you put that at the top of the list? Go to our site at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see the full list of 51 recommendations from the Center for an Urban Future. Select your top five from that list, or write in your own and post them to the comments page that you'll see there. We'll discuss your top five lists for what Obama should do for New York coming up in about a half hour. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, you probably know Mark Bittman from his minimalist column in the New York Times, where he tries to lure people back into the kitchen with the promise of fewer ingredients and easier recipes. Or maybe you tried your hand at no-knead bread, which he helped bring to the masses. Or maybe you saw the recent photograph of his galley kitchen on the Times webpage, which prompted him to write an article called "So Your Kitchen is Tiny, So What?" In his new book, Food Matters, A Guide to Conscious Eating, he says you can eat healthier and save the planet at the same time, and you might even lose some weight in the process. Mark Bittman, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. I'm going to dive right into the meat of the issue, and it seems like if there's one thing you want people to take away from your book, it's to eat less meat.
Well, the two real culprits in today's diet are animal products, I mean meat in particular, but animal products in general, and highly processed foods. And the sad thing is that if you look at all of what that means, most people are getting 80 to 90% of their calories from those two groups of foods, and they're big groups, but the leading source of calories in the United States right now, single food, would you like to guess, the single food that provides the most calories to Americans? Soda, if you can believe that. So if you look at soda, donuts, hamburgers, sort of all meat, all processed foods, most people are getting 80 or 90% of their calories from that kind of food and a mere 10 or 20% from plants. And this is counter to everything that's good for people's bodies and good for the planet.
So Governor Patterson wants a soda tax in New York, at least a non-diet soda tax in New York. Should he impose a meat tax, too?
It's a tough question. I mean, if you think that cigarette smoking has gone down as a result of higher taxes, it's not the worst idea in the world. I just rather that people took some responsibility for the way they're eating and look closely at their diets and just kind of rejig them so that plant material makes up a higher proportion of what they're eating, and highly processed foods and animal products make up a lower proportion. I mean, if you do that, you're lowering the risk of lifestyle diseases. You're probably going to lose weight. You're lowering your cholesterol. And, you know, the UN announced about a year ago that industrialized meat production, industrialized livestock production, is responsible for about 18% of all greenhouse gases, which is second only after energy production. That's not insignificant.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I know that's set to be the case, and people don't make that connection between meat eating and global warming. We're all running around trying to turn off light switches and, you know, unplug those vampire charges overnight and all of that stuff, but we don't think about the meat consumption and the contribution of that to global warming.
Well, true, and if it were, you know, for my purposes, I'd rather have good old-fashioned incandescent lights and cut back on meat than have those horrible energy-saving ones. It's politically incorrect, but anyway. No, meat consumption is huge in global warming, and it's not just flatulence from cows, which is the typical joke, but it's clear-cutting of forests for grass-fed beef, which is not really that much better from an environmental perspective. It's the enormous amount of grain, particularly soy and corn, that's grown to feed animals.
Mark, I'm going to jump in for a minute here, because actually the phone connection that we have is so bad that I think our listeners aren't going to stay with us if we continue this, or it's going to be torture for them, which may be bad data. Talk about that, given what else is going on in Washington. But talk to my producer. We're going to try to get you on a better phone line. And while we're getting Mark Bittman hooked back up to talk more about Food Matters, A Guide to Conscious Eating, which, by the way, does include recipes. And we will weave recipes into this a little bit as we go. It's kind of philosophy with recipes. This new Mark Bittman book, Food Matters, A Guide to Conscious Eating. We're going to take a sneak peek at some of what you've been posting with your five top priorities for the Obama administration in New York. And in case it takes a few minutes to reconnect with Mark Bittman, you can call us. We'll kind of preview the segment we'll do more fully later in the hour. Your top five priorities for Obama administration spending for New York. What would you put at the top of the list? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And from our website, number one, allocate anti-terror funds based on risk, not pork. Two, dramatically increase the share of federal transportation spending that goes to mass transit, Second Avenue subway, please, and more lines overall, not fewer. And Eric from Brooklyn posted that before Lee Sander was on. Three, make universal health insurance a reality. Four, overall effort to increase job opportunities for all sectors. And five, education, education, education. Then NC from NYC posted, men don't end the No Child Left Behind Act, but less emphasis on testing. Initiate new efforts to help low-income Americans build assets. Again, universal health insurance. Dramatically increase the share of federal transportation spending, again, mass transit, and create a large-scale nationwide initiative to retrofit buildings. That's a little of what's coming in on our website for your top five priorities for Obama for New York City. And now I think we have Mark Bittman back on another phone. Mark?
I'm here. I don't know if it's going to be any better. I hope so.
Well, I think you're off that crummy hotel phone.
The crummy hotel phone.
At your hotel in Toronto. We get better hotel phones from Jakarta than we had in that case. And now you're on your good old-fashioned cell phone. So let's pick up where we left off. Is your focus mostly on beef, or is it all animal products?
It's really all animal products, because if you look at, we consume something like 10 billion, with a B, animals in the United States each year. And that's, obviously the big three are beef, pork, and chicken, or chicken, beef, and pork in that order. But it's also dairy products, and people who substitute dairy for meat are really not doing themselves or the environment or the animals any favor. So it's really the whole shebang, and two-thirds, by weight, about two-thirds of all the food we eat is animal products. So it's really a lot.
Do you see, and again, you're best known for your minimalist column in the New York Times, where you're always helping people with fewer ingredients and easier recipes. Do you see our current economic crisis as an opportunity for change, because people may be looking for more simplicity?
Well, the current economic crisis is being seen as an opportunity for change in all kinds of areas, but definitely it's going to chase people back into the kitchen, which is really where food belongs. And I think, and I've said for a long time, that if you want to have control over what you eat and you want to know what you eat, you have to buy and cook your own food, because it's the only way you can really be in control of the situation. So the fact that it's cheaper as well, and that's inarguable, is, it's just one more reason that people should be cooking.
We have a few minutes for your phone calls for Mark Bittman, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, his new book, Food Matters, A Guide to Conscious Eating. Okay, recipe question. One thing you advocate that's so interesting is turning the proportions of pasta to sauce upside down. Less pasta, more sauce. And there's a recipe in this book on page 251, if you're following along at home, Orchette with broccoli, Rob, that uses just half a pound of pasta for four servings. How does that work?
Well, you know, I'm so glad you picked that recipe because it really is representative of everything I'm trying to do, which is just say to people, this is not about being a vegetarian or a vegan. This is about changing proportions. And, you know, I remember I used to say that a pound of pasta served two or three people, and now I'm saying that half a pound of pasta serves three or four. And the difference is you just make more sauce and you swap the proportions around. And what happens is you still get that nice chewiness from pasta, but basically you've turned it into a vegetable dish. And it's a little closer to what Italians would call minestra, almost a soup, but it's still a terrific pasta dish. And rather than eating, you know, a huge bowl of highly processed carbohydrates, you're eating a bowl of highly processed carbohydrates with a lot of vegetables in it.
And, you know, I'm glad you made that point because a lot of times when people want to cut down on their meat, what they wind up doing is piling the pasta high with whatever toppings, and you're really trying to reinvent the relationship between what's considered the main thing and what's considered the toppings in that case. But, you know, pile up the carbs high. That might even be less healthy for many individuals. Another one, you say that lunch is the meal most likely to be eaten out of the home. And when you're brown bagging it, people think that that's going to be boring. But you approach that with some brown bag recipes.
Well, lunch really is the toughest one for most people because we do tend to eat out the most. And fortunately, you know, the number of salads available, fruit salad I find is a great alternative for a lot of people who are new to sort of the non-cheeseburger world. Rice and beans, of course. And the big thing is leftovers. And most of us cook more than we can eat at dinner when we do cook. And just getting into this headset of throwing the stuff into a container at night and bringing it to work. Everybody's got a microwave at work at this point. And it's so much about just changing your head, not so much changing the way you cook or changing what you eat. It's changing the proportions and the way you think about it. I just want to jump back to that pasta thing for one second.
Yes.
Which is just to say that, you know, you hit it exactly right. It is about turning things on their head. And if there were meat in that pasta with broccoli Rob, say it was pasta with broccoli Rob and sausage, I'd still be in favor of that recipe. It's still a great recipe. Again, as long as the plant matter is sort of the dominant thing in the dish.
Now, I actually don't know Orchietta. What's the shape of that pasta?
Little caps, like little shell-shaped, like little yarmulkes, think of them.
And somebody else said ears. George,
yeah,
in
ears, that's what it means. Thank you.
George in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC with Mark Bittman. Hi, George.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. When we say meat or pasta, are they all the same, or is what we're learning about grass-fed beef or free-range chicken or whole-grain pasta or whole-grain bread, does that make a difference? Because that's what we're being told.
That's a great question, George.
It's a great question.
And it's really an opinion question. So what's your opinion?
Well, actually, I'm not so sure it's really an opinion question. There's several different answers, though. It's obviously not all the same. But from an environmental perspective and from the body's perspective, grass-fed meat and organic meat are barely different from industrially raised meat. There's some difference, but the big question is not so much what kind of meat, but whether it's meat or, say, broccoli. So that's kind of one answer. Is there a difference between whole grain and not whole grain? If it's real whole grain, because there's a lot of bread in the supermarket that claims to be whole grain, but it's really 20% whole grain. But if it's real whole grain, like the difference between brown rice and white rice is a substantial difference because fiber turns out to be an important thing to eat, and white rice has virtually none, and brown rice has a lot. So, and the way your body handles highly processed carbohydrates is not unlike the way your body handles sugar. So you want complex carbohydrates. The carbohydrates are the most complicated issue in nutrition right now, but you want complex ones, which are to say mostly unprocessed ones as opposed to processed ones. There is a big difference there.
Christine in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Mark Bittman. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
I was calling in because I eat like you talk about. Like, I am inclined my whole life to eat that way. But now I am a mother of two, and I have a husband, and I cook for all of them. And my children are like me. It does not occur to me to eat meat unless somebody puts it in front of me. So that's how I like to eat. But my husband is 6'7" and weighs 240 pounds. And if I give him a meal without meat, he just eats it and then says, "What's next?" Like, he cannot, and he's a very conscientious person generally. And I was thinking, well, maybe I'll get this book for him, but because he's not that way about food, but and he would like to be, but...
Do you have a tall person's exemption in this book, Mark?
I don't really. You know, what can you, when you're handling things on it, excuse me, on an individual case, it's always hard to say. Obviously, I'd love it if he read the book. He may be convinced. You know, I am a sort of tall, large person also, and I wasn't really convinced about this until I started to have middle-aged health problems. So without going into the details of his life, there's probably room for change in the years to come.
All right. From our webpage, RTC writes, "I read Mark's book last night and have the following comments. Corn syrup and other additives and fillers seem to be the real culprits in obesity. Red meat may be bad, but fish is good. I eat fish every day. Why put so much emphasis on beans, which are high carb, high calorie, and cause bloating, rather than fish? Are you a big bean guy?"
I am a big bean guy. You know, and they're not high carb in the sense that, you know, cookies or pizza is high carb. But the fish question is another really interesting question, and I would be recommending that people eat fish, except... the difference between farm-raised fish and farm-raised chicken is not that great. And the problem with wild fish is it's being fished out. There's not enough for all of us. So if I go on television or your show or whatever and say, "Eat fish, eat fish, eat fish," there's going to be even less to go around. So, you know, fish is a problem from a sustainability perspective, not so much from a health perspective, but that matters also.
Your first cookbook was called Fish, wasn't it?
I am a lifelong fish addict. I love fish. But you know, when you look at the numbers, it's really frightening. And, you know, we're on the verge of making several more species extinct. We've already made several species extinct. There's a ton of really popular fish that's endangered, and it's just, in good conscience, I can't recommend that people eat fish.
Last thing, I think your take on oatmeal in the book is going to be revolutionary for Americans who read it. Do you really think people are ready to drizzle soy sauce and chopped scallions on their oatmeal at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I am, so I don't know. I mean, this is not, you know, there's a way in which everybody's got different preferences. I happen to like very savory food in the morning. In fact, I'm working on a piece for the Times about that. But and people do all around the world. And I might point out, bacon and eggs is pretty savory. So, but am I going to sit here and say everybody should be eating whole grains with soy sauce and scallions in the morning? No. However, it's an idea that will appeal to some, I think.
Well, we've got you talking about conscious eating. Alice Waters wrote an open letter to the Obamas. She wants to see an administration that makes it clear that food choices matter. Of course, we have Michael Pollan, who comes on here regularly on these things. So there are a lot of people who know a lot about food, kind of reading from the same cookbook right now. And everybody's going to make their own choices. The book is called Food Matters, A Guide to Conscious Eating, by Mark Bittman, and Mark will be signing books and answering questions at the Whole Foods on East Houston Street this Saturday at 6:30 in the evening. Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a million, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still to come, a drug war in Mexico that has implications for the United States and that's not getting that much attention in this country. And then your top five things that you want the Obama administration to do for New York. Go post them to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.